Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicinino here, getting you ready for our first live Big Brother Canada recap of the season, recapping the Big Brother Canada premiere from Monday night. But before we get into today's show, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, and those are our friends over at DraftKings.com, because spring training is underway, and that means one thing: baseball season is around the corner, and there's never been a better time to check out DraftKings.com, where you could win huge cash prizes every day. Because daily fantasy baseball means no season-long commitments, no slogging through a long season to collect your winnings, just instant cash, instant gratification. It's a new season every time you play. It's the ultimate baseball experience. You'll feel like Greg from Big Brother Canada. Stay under the salary cap, and you could be on your way to a massive payday. In fact, DraftKings has already crowned over a dozen millionaires. Hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans have cashed in at DraftKings.com, and now it's your turn. Hurry to DraftKings.com now. Use promo code Rob to play for free in the $100,000 fantasy baseball contest on opening day. First place takes home $10,000. Use promo code Rob for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who's never furnishing his home from the brick because that place has no furniture. It looks terrible. I'm Rob Cicinino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our live Big Brother Canada 3 recap. Wake up, Canada. We're back. That's right. And here with me is our international Big Brother chief correspondent. Here is Mr. Kurt Clark, the tabulator. Kurt, how are you?
I am amazing. I'm glad this is finally off the ground.
Finally off the ground. Sorry about the delay to those guys watching the live show tonight. Those guys in the archives, you don't care. It all started at the same time for you, about a second after you pushed the play button. But those of you guys joining us live, thank you very much. This is our first, and we have a very hearty audience here live on a Tuesday night to talk about Big Brother Canada. Going to start our twice a week coverage of Big Brother Canada. Of course, Kurt and I are going to talk about the premiere here tonight, but I'm going to be joined all throughout the season by many of your favorite Big Brother Canada guests along the way, plus guests from the US version of Big Brother. And we will be getting updates from the live feeds from a team of Big Brother reporters. And I have been inundated with people who want to report on the live feeds here on the podcast, Kurt.
Yes. Yes, I'm just not used to the whole live feed thing. I just say Big Brother Australia, Big Brother UK, not really much live feed action going on there. So I may have to check it out a little bit more this season.
Okay, on Friday, we'll get a couple of our Big Brother live feed reporters on the show to hear what they have to say. And of course, we will narrow the field of reporters down, maybe as we go through the season, and certainly by the time we get to Big Brother US by the summer. If you want to check out some of the videos that I've been receiving, I have been adding them to a playlist on YouTube. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/bbcanfeeds. That is to see the videos. We've got about 10 or so right now of people who want to be live feed reporters here on the podcast. And of course, Kurt, we are the day after the premiere of Big Brother Canada 3. Everybody is very excited. It's not the easiest thing in the world to watch. I've got a lot of questions from people in the United States. How am I watching Big Brother Canada? And I'm just saying, holla! Holla, Derek! Holla, Derek! Yes. I think that, you know, a couple of Google searches probably is going to get you the answer to the question that you're asking, how to watch it. If you are really stuck and you want to commiserate with me about being stuck, you could also shoot me an email, rob@robhaswebsite.com. If you're really stuck and you want to commiserate about not being able to watch Big Brother Canada.
Yeah, they definitely don't make it easy as some of the other international versions. And I would just caution, if you are searching for feeds of the premiere and you go to if you find YouTube that links you out to another site to go to the streaming, just be cautious.
Don't
of that.
Do it. It's a trap. It's a trap. Yes. So don't do that. Okay. Kurt, Big Brother Canada 3 is here. Very exciting. Cast looks very fun. The house looks great. Lots to talk about. Lots of twists. Some are already, I think, misfiring. We'll talk about that all here tonight, of course, with our live audience on robhasawebsite.com. Plus, we are going to take your tweets later on in the show, hashtag RHAP, and also on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. All of our Big Brother Canada shows, for the most part, we may do an audio show here or there, but they will be live on the YouTube channel. So make sure you subscribe to not miss an episode, or subscribe to the main feed of Rob Has a Podcast at robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Or you can also get the Rob Has a Podcast app, either for iOS or Android, by going to robhasawebsite.com/app. Kurt, how you doing? I haven't talked to you on a podcast in a while.
I'm doing pretty good. It's probably because there hasn't been any kind of questionable reality TV out there for me to call people's attention to.
Now, Kurt, are you confident that your appearance here tonight will not put all of Big Brother Canada on Global into jeopardy vis-a-vis the Clark curse?
I'm pretty sure that I've narrowed down the fact that the Clark curse kicks in after three consecutive points of coverage on a show. So I think we'll be safe. I'm not going to be back every time, as you mentioned. There's going to be lots of other people stepping in. But I think that we are safe with Big Brother Canada.
Okay, very good. All right, Kurt, let's talk about this. And let me just get into the top story at this hour. I think Big Brother Canada screwed up here, and I'll tell you why. So they did a thing which probably you could speak to very well, which is similar, I believe, to things that they have done in the past on Big Brother UK, where everybody in the house nominates two people. Fine. No issue with that. I think that's actually a fair way to do it rather than the phone rings or some of these other ways that we've decided to do a random HOH in the Big Brother house in the US and in Canada. Actually, I think that in the U.S., I don't think they've ever done something like that. It's always a competition, right? Big Brother Canada had the phone rang in Big Brother 1, and then they did the ice bucket challenge in season 2.
Yeah, Suzette answered the phone in the first season, and I believe it was also on the first night, not knowing really any of the people. She had to nominate two people pretty much immediately, and so it was pretty similar here.
Yeah, so I'm fine with that. That's an interesting way to do it, but this idea that America is going to vote out the first player in the house. Oh, sorry. I apologize. I have my training wheels on. This is spring training for me. That Canada is going to vote out the first person. That's right, Kurt. So I don't like this. Kurt, we've seen 1 hour of these people. We don't have a live feed. We don't have an after dark. We don't have anything to go off of. Yeah. And we are voting somebody out of the house based on nothing.
Yeah, at least with the Suzette nomination, that was like on day one. I think both in season 1 and season 2, the person wasn't kicked out until day 8. Yes, we're going to be kicking out somebody on day 7 or day 8, but that, like you said, that's after 45 minutes of getting to see these people on TV and not a lot of time of them interacting.
Right, and the house made the ultimate decision in Big Brother Canada 1. You know, it's fine if you want to let Suzette pick the nominees quick and then have a power of veto and then have, you know, 8 days to figure out who is going to be the person that ultimately goes home. And right. You have a chance, even if I bet Kat from Big Brother Canada 1 might say that it was probably she was up against Emmett, I think, the first week, right?
Yeah, it was Emmett and Tom who were nominated.
Tom won the veto.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think that she might have felt like she was drawing dead from the get-go to be up against Emmett in the first week of Big Brother Canada 1. But to have you guys vote, is it a global vote, Kurt? Could I vote on this?
Holla.
The time is up. I think so. Can I holla at your vote?
You know what? I'm not exactly sure what the voting mechanism is. I assume that I could not, being from the lower 50, as it were.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really, really strange. And you even saw Risha saying, well, at least I have like several days to lobby with people and get to know people and change their minds. Like, no, you don't.
And here's the thing, Kurt. I think that the producers are wishing they had a mulligan. I think that they wish they could go in a la Frankie Grande and push the reset button, because I think that they are very concerned that they are going to lose Risha. Is it Risha or Risha? Risha, right?
Risha, I think. Sure. Risha.
They are, I think, very concerned that they are going to lose Risha here in this first week. And they love having her on the show, I believe, because they gave her such a positive edit throughout this whole episode. They know that they are worried that they could lose maybe an amazing piece of casting.
Nice piece of casting.
Yes.
It's almost a shame, but you're right. She got a lot more airtime than Peely did, who is alongside her. They're hoping she's going to stay. I'm hoping she's going to stay. I'm wondering
Is it that as the Big Brother UK expert, is it the vote who should stay in the house or who should leave the house? How is the vote going?
Usually in Big Brother UK, in the civilian version, it's a vote to evict for who do you want out. For the celebrity versions, it's usually a vote to save, I guess, for ego purposes. So it's usually a vote to evict, like this is a vote to evict. I'm wondering how much of a mistake Risha's outfit was in terms of calling attention to herself.
I mean, unless she was going to wear a snowsuit, I think no matter what she wore, I think it was going to be a big problem for her. Let us know in the chat room if it's a vote to save or a vote to evict.
It is a vote to evict.
I
was listening for that on the, just to compare it to the UK version. It's definitely a vote to evict.
Yeah, I think that this is a big problem. But Kurt, just from watching so much of this reality TV, a lot of times we could pick up on what the show is trying to tell us in the story. And in that challenge, in that first veto challenge, I was like, oh, Risha's going to come back and win this thing because they're editing her to she never gave up. What a fighter. She's a fighter. How many times did we hear in this show what a fighter Risha is? How Risha never gives up. And I was like, I don't get it. Why is that? Until at the last moment we saw that Canada is going to decide who stays and who goes. I think that that was a very heavy-handed, positive edit for Risha on the first episode.
Yeah, definitely. And it's, like I said, I would love to see Risha stay, but the flip side of it is I would feel cheated if Peely left because we were, I think, purposefully not given much on her. And so it's really hard to make a call. And what I actually thought was going to maybe happen was something you would often see in the UK version or even in the Australia version is that America would be voting, or sorry, Canada, that's my one freebie, that Canada would be voting, but the person evicted would actually be put into a secret house and that they wouldn't actually be out of the game and they'd be there for like a week or two and then come back. I was hoping that's what was going to happen, but unfortunately it doesn't seem like it.
Yes. Kurt, would you be open to, if and when Risha is evicted on Wednesday night, having her throw her hat into the ring as a new live feed correspondent, Risha?
I'm all down for that.
Yes.
Can we let her into the, can we expand the Miss Survivor pageant into the Miss Reality pageant and just put her in there?
Yes. Miss Reality Cougar 2015. Self-proclaimed Cougar. We did not know as of Friday night with Mike Bloom if she was officially a Cougar, but she is the self-proclaimed Cougar of the Big Brother house.
Very self-proclaimed. She's on the prowl.
Yes. Kurt, that if they lose their Cougar here on week one based on Canada's vote, that would not be good TV, Kurt.
That would be bad TV, and we like good TV.
We do. That would be bad TV. Hey,
you want good TV?
Yes.
Does everybody want good TV?
Well, then vote Pilar out of the house.
Yeah.
If that's what you want.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. And I'm wondering, they still potentially have the fallback of the first four house gets evicted. One of them is going to return to the house because they've been in sequester. Maybe they fall back on that. I don't know. But maybe they're just like learning and moving on.
Okay. So I think that they really screwed the pooch on this one. I think that they gave Canada too much power. And I don't have a problem with giving Canada a vote. Obviously, it worked out to be very fun last season, even though it kind of screwed over Andrew in the Big Brother Canada 2 house and with Canada's HOH. But you can't let people make that big of a decision going on nothing. For Pilar, she had no airtime whatsoever. At least we got to know Risha a little bit.
Yeah, and even in the UK versions where this is something that happens week to week, there's a good solid week in there where people get to know the housemates that they're nominating before the UK ends up voting somebody out. So because it was a 45-minute episode minus commercials. And then the first half hour of it was pretty much the introductory packages, which were very scripted. So you only got to see 15 minutes of legitimate, real interaction.
Yeah. Okay, so outside of the first twist of the season, let's talk about some of the other headlines from night one of Big Brother Canada. So we have the steampunk house. Just real quick, thumbs up or thumbs down on the new Big Brother Canada house?
I really liked it. I thought it was, even though it's pretty bare bones right now, this isn't something that they've, the first time that they've done something like this. I believe it was the second season of Big Brother Australia where they got into the house and there was no furniture and they had to win it and build it and like even paint part of the house over the first several weeks. So I think it's an interesting twist. And, you know, if they have to win back their furniture, their belongings and food, it just gives more room for competition, which is always fun.
Okay. So how long of a process do you think it will be to win back their possessions, to win back the furniture?
The possessions will probably be some sort of challenge that we'll see in the next two episodes. The furniture, I'm guessing it's going to be progressively over the next, you know, 3 weeks or so, and then food is probably going to be on an as-you-go basis. Now, have they had have-nots in previous seasons of Canada?
Yes.
I'm trying to remember.
Yes, okay. They have. Don't you remember? I believe that's what sent Gary into a famous tizzy in the first Big Brother Canada.
True. I was trying to remember that.
Yes, and I believe was it Big Brother Canada or Big Brother US last year that had like the black and white have-not room
with the spirals that look like vertigo-ish.
Yeah,
I'm trying. I can't remember off the top of my head.
All right, yeah, I'm getting all my Big Brother have-not rooms confused. Who had the airport? Was that Big Brother 15?
With the chairs that you had to sit on, I think it was.
Yeah.
I think it was Andy's season.
Okay. Anyway, as far as the house goes, no furniture. Does that get you excited at all, Kurt? Is that interesting at all? When are they going to get furniture in the Big Brother house? Like, are they going to sleep on the floor?
I do like to think that like maybe the Brick just pulled out their sponsorship like a week before and they were scrambling. And so, we need to stall.
Yeah. They're holding out for more money.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not exactly exciting for me. Again, it depends on what the challenges end up being, where they have to get their furniture back. So as long as they put a compelling story around it, I guess it could be interesting. We have to wait and see. But I like, they know us right away. Where's the couch? No couch.
Yes. Yeah. For me, that luxury competitions, you know, winning groceries, winning the furniture in the house, like could not care less about this stuff.
You want the competitions around the head of household and the veto and boom.
Yeah, I think we're just overthinking it of like, oh, okay, well, let's, you know, tune in Friday night to see if the Big Brother Canada contestants can get the furniture back in the house. Like, oh, okay, well, let me get a sit on the edge of my chair. Oh, wait, where is my chair?
If this wasn't enough like The Sims already in terms of a household simulation, now you actually have to furnish it as well. So.
Okay. All right. So we have that going on. Now, Kurt, what is going on with the vault in the house? That I am officially confused about what the twist is involving the vault.
I know that like, Catherine Zeta-Jones come in and do like the back flips over the
Mission Impossible, right?
And I'm not entirely sure because it also looked like there were like tons of lockers in there with keys, and it might be some sort of progressive challenge over the course of the season. I think all we know is that their stuff is all being kept in there right now. And I think kind of related to this vault / lockdown idea, I like the idea that it appears to be some sort of safe in the floor of the have-not room, so which gives some sort of major advantage. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that comes into play.
Yeah. What was the name of the veto that Allison had last season? The red veto?
I'm not remembering right away. The one that she found?
Yes.
I can't remember what the special substance was, but which periodic table element. Comprised with that veto was made of the beryllium power veto.
Wow, that's a very powerful power veto.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so that is also happening in the house. Is that any other twist that we know of at this time?
We it sounds like that this whole everybody's head of household this week is a one-time deal because they talk about somebody wins head of household. The bedrooms are on lockdown. I'd say the biggest one that is what's up with the vault and what's up with the safe and the floor of the have-not room. There's almost like the have-not room is a little like Exile Island now where you could get banished there, but it's also the place where some sort of major advantage is. So that's kind of an interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing how that plays out.
Okay. So we'll see exactly what unfolds with the have-not room. But we don't even have that unlocked right now.
No, I think they're all sleeping on the floor of the main room Yeah. Hopefully they have bathroom access.
Okay. We hope so. We hope the bathroom is unlocked. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the setup for the season. Of course, Wednesday night will be the first eviction from Big Brother Canada. That is also when the Big Brother Canada live feeds will turn on. So, Kurt, are you pumped up for eviction number one? Or is it too soon?
Yeah, I'm really not, only because I'm not happy with how they handled it. It feels too soon. And the fact that we have, you know, a minimal amount of time to make a decision about one of these two people, I'm not looking forward to it this soon.
Yeah.
It should be at least episode 3, not episode 2.
Yeah. I feel like I could wait until Sunday, but we want to get on schedule. And of course, we're going to have our first eviction come Wednesday night. All right, Kurt, let's talk about first impressions with this new cast. Of course, we got to see a little bit of their videos over last week. We also got to see their bios, but now everybody moves into the house. Let's just talk through some people that made very positive first impressions on you, Kurt. Any standouts?
Well, I think like you and Mike Bloom, I did like Willow. Yeah. And I actually very much liked Ashley as well.
Yeah, Ashley. Okay, so let's just talk through a couple of these people. Ashley turned out to be a bit different than we thought, that she is coming off as the goofy girl, but also going to play the sexy role, she says.
Yeah, the sexy, goofy cowgirl.
Yeah. What do you think? Yeah, that's a good role?
Yeah, and she seems legitimately excited to be in there. Not that many people don't. There are a couple that don't, and I can get to talk about them when we get to them. You know, I remember when Arissa came on, I remember Ashley started jumping out and clinging on to Brittany, but not in an overly annoying manner. So she seems to be just enjoying herself there. She kind of levered herself, that's a word, down the front staircase because she couldn't really step in the dress that she was wearing.
Yes.
So I thought that was kind of funny, and she acknowledged that. So
shout out to Tala.
A little bit.
Okay.
Tala,
Derek. So there seems like there's also a bit of a showmance brewing here between Zach and Ashley. Are we shipping Zashley?
I am not.
Out. Kurt is out.
I don't think Zach is long for this world.
Really? What is it that has turned you off about Zach? You don't like the QB?
You know what? I wanted to like him going in, and he seems like a really nice guy. He recognizes that he would have a target on his back. But like during the introductions, he was very much standing off to the side. He wasn't saying anything. He was standing there with his hands behind his back and waiting for people to approach him. He just came off in the house as very standoffish.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that if he doesn't start to mix it up more, could potentially hurt him. So the reason I'm not shipping on Ashley and Zach is that I think if Zach doesn't step up his social game, he's going to be out sooner rather than later.
I'll tell you where else he was standoffish.
Where was that?
On social media when he told off Peter Brown, and Peter Brown had to block him a couple years ago.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Let me try to see if I can find the exact tweet that he sent to Peter Brown. But he sent him like a nasty tweet, and Peter Brown had to block him.
I have a dark side to this, Zach.
Absolutely. So I thought Zach was pretty good in the premiere episode. I have no qualms with him.
Yeah, I liked him until he seems like he's being more standoffish than he should be. I was like, you know, you're tall enough and get some fake nerd glasses, because he's tall enough and slim enough that he could actually pull off being a nerd. And I was like, you know, at the moment he takes the shirt off, people are going to think that he's a threat. And of course he gets thrown into a veto challenge where he has to have his shirt off, and everybody immediately realizes he's a physical threat.
Wow. So Kurt, you like the idea of undercover nerd?
I think that he could have pulled off undercover nerd. I think.
Wow. You want a she's all that strategy in the Big Brother house?
That's exactly what I was thinking, is that he's like the type of person that you could easily nerd up, and then there's like the big reveal at the end that oh my gosh, the nerd was good looking all the time.
Yeah, this is what Zach said to Peter Brown in 2013. He said, "You are an awful BB player, had a chance to make a big move, and crumbled like a bitch. Go back to your nothing life, Peter." And Peter Brown then responded
with block.
Yes. My regular is your dream, fool. And then he said, go eat a salad and cry about it. Hashtag P word.
It's a show. Just everyone get along.
Wow.
I mean, you know, kudos to Peter's response. I think the fact that Zach wrote that in the first place, well, we'll see how well he does now.
Yeah. And we'll see what Peter Brown says about Zach on the sideshow this season.
Oh, yeah. That'll be good.
Yeah. Okay. Who else made a standout impression for you, Kurt?
Looking through the list, I want to see more of Sarah, to be honest.
Sarah, the employee.
Yeah, the employee. Yeah. Ask Jim Rice on Thursday if that's an official term that he coins as well.
Okay. Yes. Thursday, I will be speaking with Jim Rice, the Survivor player on the Survivor recap, who probably employs many employees.
And I don't know, there's something about Sarah that reminds me. She's like a cross between Christine and Nicole from last season's BB16, last summer's BB16. Because she kind of has like the nerdy Christine look a little bit. But when she talks, she comes off a little bit unaware like Nicole did at times. So just that combination has me intrigued, and I hope that she sticks around quite a bit.
Yeah, I think she was pretty fun. She seemed very excited to be in the house. I liked her idea of sort of, you know, wanting people to underestimate her because she's a stoner. But I think that she probably like was too on the nose about it. Like, hey, you know, you guys, I'm just a stoner. Like, you don't have to worry about me.
People will exactly estimate her. They will not underestimate her. They will not overestimate her. She will be estimated.
Yeah. But I think that she's going to be fun. I think that she's going to make for some good TV. And that's what we want, Kurt, right?
We like good TV.
Is that what they want?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Also, I like Kevin came off really well this episode.
Yeah, he was good. I liked Kevin. Again, I worry about Kevin in the game long term, but I thought he was very good in the diary room, and I thought that he proved himself to be pretty good in the challenges up until he got to that last minute of going through the combination lock.
Well, I think that Cindy really actually, like when she was explaining that she was, you know, and every time you're trying to crack a safe in every movie, you listen for the clicks. And I think she listened for the clicks, and I think it worked for her, which is not an approach I would have taken.
Yeah, so, especially not on a Big Brother combination lock. Like, I'm like, I don't know. This could be like, you know, who knows how this thing is rigged. But it was interesting, the different approaches that the two of them took. It was like flashing back to Lost. It was like, you had Kevin, who was the man of science, who's going to systematically go through it. And then you had Cindy with an S, who was the man of faith. She was like Locke. She was like, okay, I'm just going to feel it out. And I'm going to listen for when I hear the tumblers click. And then it worked out.
There were no tumblers in that. You're right. There, like, it was like when she got the right numbers, it just lit up and opened. It's like I would have approached it the same way that Kevin did. And if I had gotten there second, I would have seen, like, glanced over at what number he was on and just assumed he was kind of advancing the numbers one by one and maybe started just ahead of him or started at 444 and worked my way down.
Yeah,
worked
right back. Were you the tabulator?
Yeah, that's how it works. But no, the gears, they spoke to Cindy and she listens. So
yeah.
Was Kevin the one that said that he was going to throw challenges in a very obvious way?
Yes, I believe he was the one that said he was going to reinvent throwing challenges. Was that what he did? Was that what he was going for?
He reinvented him to the point where he won. Because I thought that he was going to do that potentially when everybody took off at the sound, you know, that the sound of the gun at the very beginning. And he kind of, you saw Bobby run up and you saw Zach run up and then he let the girls get ahead of him. And he kind of got to the rope the net last. And I thought maybe he was throwing it, but he just kept charging away.
Yeah. Let's talk about Cindy with an S.
Is that Cindy with an S?
Yes. Don't you think that kind of came back to bite her in the butt when she made such a big deal of, oh, so I'm Cindy with an S. Remember, Cindy with an S. Don't forget that name. Cindy with an S. Cut to like 5 minutes later. All right, we need a name. Anybody? Two people to nominate. We need a name. Like, what was that? Oh, Cindy with an S.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Be nondescript, so you can't be described as the really tall blonde woman, and don't have drilled your name into everybody's head. And I guess it's probably like Survivor. If somebody asks you how exactly you spell your name right before Tribal Council, you have to think that something's going to be up here. I mean, they didn't know that she was going to vote for her, but I had a feeling that was going to come back and bite her. She was had the most memorable name of everybody given that. And of course, I'm sure that we saw those mentions are probably spread out a little bit more than what we saw them, but they're obviously telling the story of this is, guess what? She's going to be nominated.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So as somebody who's always saying Kurt with a C, I can completely relate. But this is a game where nobody is going to be writing your name down unless there's like a Starbucks barista challenge. This is not something she needs to be telling people.
Yeah. So that being said, I did think she came off well that she ultimately did win that veto. And I think she's going to be fun to watch this season. So I'm bullish on Cindy with an S, not as a player, but just for TV.
Yeah, I would have rather that Risha had won and somebody maybe more annoying was put on the block so that Cindy potentially stayed. I think the fact that she won and the fact that she stayed and the fact that she came from behind are just going to make for, I think, a compelling story for her this season.
Okay. So we'll be following Cindy with an S. Let's talk about a couple of other people. Jordan Parhar, Kurt. What did you think of a friend of the podcast, Jordan Parhar?
You were talking, I was listening to your recap of the cast preview with Mike Bloom. And I remember saying that Jordan is a rap listener. And I didn't remember him at all. But when you pair his last name, Parhar, okay, I've recognized that name before. I don't know. Like you said, it seemed like it was too much presented as I'm a liar and a manipulator and all done to get on the show. I'm interested to see where he actually goes with it. It's hard to judge based on the package we see at a time.
Yeah, I think it's mostly talk and let's see what he actually does. Like, I just do think that there's so much of this posturing that goes on with contestants that goes through casting. And it's like, wait till you see me in the house. I'm going to be the biggest liar and the craziest mofo that you've ever had in there. And then it's like, when you get there, and we saw the same thing with Kevin of like, I'm going to throw challenges and I'm going to do this. And then it's like, oh, the game starts. Like, I have to actually, you know, try to play well. And, you know, I think it's like a little bit of, you got to say anything to get in the house. And then once you're in there, then you can actually do what you want.
Yeah. And he did the classic, it's not chess, it's checkers analogy. Although I actually disagree a bit on that. I think it is chess. You have a long-term game. Big Brother, it can burn you if you plan too far ahead. Like think of it as checkers, plan 3 or 4 moves ahead because the game is going to screw you in some way that you're going to have to adapt really quickly.
Yeah.
So it'll be, I'm interested to see what the real Jordan is, and we haven't gotten that yet.
What did you think of what Jordan said at the end of the episode, that he felt like for Cindy with an S, she missed a golden opportunity to get one of these strong guys out of the house? Do you agree with that?
She did miss a chance to get one of the guys out of the house.
I disagree.
Factually, there was the chance to do that. Was it an opportunity? I don't know if I would have painted it as that. I don't know if it would have been a good move.
No.
Especially, this is not the time where you want to start rocking the boat and being the person that's going to target the powerhouses that you target one powerhouse, the other powerhouses are going to see what you're doing and come after you.
Yeah.
That early.
I mean, I'm trying to think of the season where the house sort of like, you know, gets rid of a threat in week one. I feel like typically everybody's just trying to get through the week with the anybody but me strategy. And I feel like the better player typically stays in week one because it sort of is the first opportunity for them to scramble. And a lot of times I feel like you've seen people who are on the block in week one of Big Brother come back to have a really great game. Emmett is the example from Big Brother Canada that you can go back to. And it's sort of like really emboldens them to go on the block in week one and then stay in the house.
Yeah, that's true. Like when Suzette nominated, she nominated two big physical threats. She nominated Tom and Emmett, and you know, she ended up replacing Emmett with Tom with Kat.
Yeah.
So I mean, it had been tried before, but got switched up. But here's a lot to be noted. She's as You don't have a single head of household who's making two enemies by nominating. One isn't that where one's going to come down on veto and come after them, but you're still in that situation where she's kind of a de facto head of house when she has to replace herself as the nominee. So she's only going to make one enemy. At least if Risha stays, then it's not going to be on on Cindy that Risha was put up there in the first place.
Yeah, I think the idea is in this exercise is just get out of there with as little blood on your hands as possible. And so to put up somebody who's a big threat is getting a lot of blood on your hands. Sure, it would be great for Jordan if a physical threat went home week one, but that's not really what's best for Cindy in her game. I see in the chat room, I think it was Zach in the chat room that said, what about Brian from Big Brother 10 as a first boot? But he screwed that up so badly with overplaying, and that's why he got voted out. It wasn't because he was like a physical threat. He just, you know, overplayed so hard that the whole that's a thing too, where somebody is just going crazy and playing too much. I think that's probably a Keith from Big Brother 13 as well. If you sort of like, you know, overplay your hand in the first week, you could also find yourself being the first person out.
Yeah. Brian was not the physical threat. I mean, they brought him back to be the potential coach of the Brains team in the Click season. You know, Jesse Godders ended up coming back for that instead of Brian. But yeah, by no means was Brian the physical threat. But he was a potential big player, but not the physical threat that looked like Jordan wanted targeted.
Okay, a couple other people. What about my guy Godfrey?
Godfrey. Also, we've got the Big Brother professor now.
Yes. Oh, no. Well, I hope it goes better for a Big Brother professor.
We'll have to check in a few boots and see if he's still there.
Yes, he's not a student of the game. He's the professor, Professor Godfrey.
I liked that analogy. That was kind of fun. Didn't see a lot from him, but I'm looking forward to seeing what we get from him. I think this cast comes off as extremely intelligent or knowledgeable about the game for the most part. So either they're fans or they've got a good head on their shoulders across the board.
Yeah. What about Fun Bobby?
Oh gosh, when he called himself, my friends call me Fun Bobby. I was like, no. I really hope that they don't.
Is Fun Bobby drinking again?
Fun Bobby is no longer. What happened to Fun Bobby?
Oh man, Fun Bobby is here.
Yeah, he seems fun, but again, is this one of those cases where if you have to express it, it's most likely not true?
Yeah, if you have to declare it, I don't know if he's actually that fun. He seems pretty fun.
He's turned his home and his parents' house into kind of a Hawaiian getaway. Here's his room. So, you know, kudos to Fun Bobby. He does seem like a fun guy. I say, and I liked Kevin's assessment of how Bobby really kind of killed it when getting the puzzle pieces back, but was kind of standing there not really knowing what to do when he got to the actual puzzle assembling part of the veto competition. So we may see Bobby as more of the physical player than the puzzle player.
Yeah. That challenge also was a very Survivor-esque challenge of, okay, there'll be a physical element and then you'll get the pieces and build a puzzle. Then after you build the puzzle, you'll go over to the combination lock and unlock the numbers with the tumbler. I felt like that was a uncharacteristically Survivor challenge on the first night of Big Brother.
I think you're right. Yeah, it definitely had the multi-stage element of it. I think we've kind of seen in previous seasons of Canada, the go up the ramp, cross something, drop off a ledge, get something, and have to come back again. We've seen that done before in Big Brother Canada, but I can't remember if we had the puzzle piece aspect of it that was like this. It was a solid challenge. It was a solid first challenge.
Solid first challenge there. Let me just go through a couple of other people. We've barely spoken about Pilar. Is it Pilar or Peely?
Peely's her nickname.
Peely's a nickname. Got it.
Yeah, because I know that Arissa announced her as Pilar, and if someone's going to pronounce it correctly, it's going to be Arissa. But I believe she introduced herself as everybody to everybody as Peely.
Yeah, I just don't see how anybody's going to vote to evict her because they just showed us nothing about her. Like, if it was a vote to save Risha, I would think she has a chance, but I just feel like those people are going to be negative towards her because of the cleavage, and I think that she's just going to give some people a bad impression, and that's going to be it.
Pilar, maybe the fact that she's only been Canadian for 6 years, maybe there's going to be some nationalism that strikes.
Who is going to the website and saying, unless they've really fell in love with Risha, like this vote is completely 100% an up and down vote on Risha. This is an indictment on Risha. If you are pro Risha, you voting for Peely to go. and if you're anti-Rishi, vote for Rishi to be evicted. Like, nobody is going online to vote to either save or evict Peely.
Right. If you're anti-Cindy, you're going to vote to save Peely. I think you're also going to see that.
Ooh, okay. So if you are, people got a bad taste in their mouth about Cindy with an S?
Yeah.
Hmm, okay.
I have a feeling, I mean, I was trying to think, that's another thing that could potentially impact the vote. I think that during the nominations in the diary room, Cindy nominated Risha and Peely. And so I was wondering, well, is she just going to round out the group here with Peely? And is she going to stick to her original nominations from the diary room? And she ended up doing that. But the fact that that was very public and Peely looked shocked when it happened, I think that if people are annoyed by Cindy, they might just go in to save Peely by voting out Risha.
Okay. A couple other people. Let's talk about Johnny. Jonathan.
Yeah, Johnny.
Now, what did you think of this? I thought it was, I did not like when he was praying to his big brother board and said, don't let me be the next Anil. How dare you, sir? How dare you, Johnny? I don't care if what your cat is named.
It was his dog.
Whatever. How dare you?
Can I say that I was going through my mind trying to, like, what player was named Vito in the past? I mean, there was Enzo from the Big Brother US, but who was Vito? And it took me a good 5 minutes. Like, oh, power of Vito, that Vito. Got it. Okay.
Yes.
I was not firing at all cylinders. The tumblers were not clicking in my head as I watched this.
Yeah. So I didn't like the taking a cheap shot at Anil, Johnny. So we got off on the wrong foot. Other than that, Kurt, what did you think of Johnny?
So we didn't see much of him in the actual house. I think he like responded to Risha, you know, at Risha's outfit at one point in the diary room. But it's so hard to judge. Like, most of my impression of him is from the package where he gets his key. And you can't really react to that. So, we just know that he doesn't like father figures, apparently. And then they cut to Bruno.
Yes, he doesn't want a father figure in the house. And he would like to inspect, what Risha has going on.
Yeah. Are we ignoring the fact that Kevin made the whole motorboating, segue to Risha's package?
Not anymore. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'll just keep it at that. There were lots of those layup transitions that were going on in the opening introductory packages from Kevin saying, I don't need a father figure in the house.
They do that especially well on Big Brother Canada.
Yeah. Don't need a father figure, says Johnny. Cut to Bruno pushing a stroller. I like an older woman who I can get my face in there. And then they cut to Risha. And not just Risha, but they start at like Risha's dress.
Yeah. I think they did that also with Jordan, was talking about like, oh, you know, I'm definitely looking for a showman to get with some of these women in the house. And then he says like, I don't get a lot of action. Then cut to like one of the girls, like packing her bathing suit saying like, oh, this would be good for, I think she even said like something for a nerd. And so they do that especially well on the Big Brother. There's a lot of like continuity between the cuts, on that first night of Big Brother Canada. Let's talk about father figure Bruno.
Yeah, I think we learned the game that he is number one in the world at, Dark Age of Camelot. Not familiar with it myself. He's going to win this show for your son, apparently. Because he said he was going to win this for somebody in Dominic, so I don't know how he knows that your son would be interested in this, but apparently that's part of his gig.
Yes, I appreciate that. I'll tell you what, for Bruno on night one, I would not be surprised if we got a little bit of a Derek vibe from Bruno. Are you buying or selling a potential Derek in Bruno? And again, not to say that he will be truly, you know, a Big Brother great like Derek was as a player, but do you feel like he could potentially have that kind of upside?
I don't know, only because he did receive a lot of nominations. Like, he was in danger for a while there. If this had been like a top three or top four, Bruno would have been on the block too. So, again, first impressions. So I don't know if Derek even ever had that much against him.
But I bet if they did nominations that first night, nominate two people, I bet he would have picked up a nomination or two, especially as an older guy coming in the house in the same way. Not that, and I think that Derek is a few years older than Bruno was, but I think that it could be a thing where he's able to adjust better. I don't know. I just find that, you know, somebody that really has something to play for, and somebody who has seems to have the skills, I feel like has more skin in the game than somebody who's just, you know, hey, I'm 20 years old, I'm here to play, or I'm, you know, I'm 23, I'm 25. I don't know. I feel like there's something to that.
He's going to probably, I can see him having the same drive as Derek, but in terms like, you know, Derek played himself off as somebody in his like early, like mid to late 20s. Like he got into a new role. I can't see Bruno shaking off who he is as easily as Derek did. So the jury is still out on Bruno. We'll have to see where that ends up going.
Okay. So Kurt, are you ready to get into some questions?
Questions, of course.
From the listeners of RHAP, yes. The people that are watching the show here live on robhasawebsite.com. Kurt, by the way, today is also the final day to vote for the podcast awards, of which RHAP is nominated for two. So up until midnight Eastern tonight, you could vote for the podcast award. So you know, it's not Canada's vote. We don't hold the lives of Risha and Peely in our hands, but a podcast award may hang in the balance. And if you're so inclined, you could vote for RHAP at podcastawards.com for People's Choice Podcast of the Year and the Best Entertainment Podcast of the Year. Both of those are available for you to vote for us. Also, we did a big podcast today to pay tribute to one of the shows we're nominated up against for People's Choice Podcast of the Year, Serial. We are nominated against. I mean, that's like nothing, right?
Right. Yeah, it's a great podcast for the undecided voters.
Yeah. So we're like the pawn up on the block against Serial. But we did our own takeoff on Serial, which you can listen to at robinsonwebsite.com/RHAP Serial. That's like serial killer, not like not like what we eat for breakfast if we're not on slop. Okay. Yeah. Kurt, let's take question number one from Zachary Zarnett Klein, who says, did Risha's lack of social game seal her fate, or was it inevitable being the oldest woman in the house?
I don't think this early we can say she didn't have a social game. I mean, there was literally not enough time for, I mean, in this case, it could simply be the fact that she just didn't make all the introductions. It's like, you know, you have to meet, you know, 15 other people. She might have just missed a couple people there. And like, people didn't even have everybody's names nailed down yet. So if anything, just the fact that she didn't get to introduce herself to the people who nominated her, a couple of them, I don't think that that's an indicative of a bad social game necessarily. So,
well, who are the people that nominated Risha? I was trying to keep up with the votes. I got some of them, but not all of them. I saw Jordan nominated Risha.
Risha was nominated by Ashley.
Okay.
Brittany, Jordan and Kevin, Cindy, and I believe that was it. She had five nominations, whereas Cindy had seven nominations.
I don't think it had anything to do with her being older. I feel like the mom, I think, does okay, I think, traditionally, at the start of Big Brother. Like, I can't see people like voting out Mumsy because, she's the oldest woman in the house, we got to get rid of her. I think that it had probably had more to do with the provocative clothes that she was wearing. And I think that that may have made a negative impression on some people.
I think it had to do with, and you know, maybe you could call this part of a social game, but her self-presentation. And I don't want to come under fire for saying that, but most of the people there were a little bit more laid back and relaxed, and she came off as more kind of maybe serious and confident. Like, I think the package we saw of her, where we're talking about how both of her parents passed away from cancer, and she was left to bring up her younger sister I thought was like great insight into who she was, but it just didn't seem like they haven't had enough time to kind of internalize that yet. So
So I
think it might be more the fact that, I mean, they had several people saying she's a, normally where you would have some of the people kind of going at each other, I think people were saying she's really confident and it does not look like somebody you want to cross, and she knows what she's in for and what she's going to do.
And there may be some people that voted for her because she was like an older woman. Maybe Kevin and Jordan say, but you know, what do I have in common with Risha? She's in her 40s. I'm in my early 20s. But maybe I think the women might have been like, I don't think that she's on the same page as I am. So I don't think it was for a person to person, it was age. And I don't think by a person to person, it was what she was wearing. So I think it might have been some other things that we could have even not seen. So hard to say it was one thing in particular, but I think that there have been plenty of older women that have done okay and could have survived this first vote in the House.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's not persecute the Big Brother cast for age discrimination yet. Yeah. We'll see. Okay. Flippin 86 says, do you think Big Brother Canada should have let the veto winner Cindy pick the replacement nominee, or should they have figured out who received the third most votes during the nominations, which were Bruno and Peely?
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't really have an issue with, Cindy getting to replace. I mean, if anything, it's interesting that she goes from being vulnerable to being in a position of power where she's going to get blood on her hands. I think either one could have potentially worked. My bigger issue is the fact that the American public has like 20 minutes of actual in-game footage to base their vote on. That's the bigger issue here, not Cindy getting to replace herself.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think that it's such a big deal as to who ended up going up on. I mean, Cindy won the veto, let her pick the replacement nominee. I think that I agree with you. The bigger problem is letting the audience, the TV audience, pick who goes home after a couple minutes of screen time. And also to edit the show to try to save Risha, because there is no doubt in my mind that that is the case.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the things that I know a lot of people don't like Big Brother UK or Australia because of this format, but they're pretty even-handed in how they edit people, whereas this would be the opposite of even-handed. I guess that would be odd-handed. I'm not quite sure. You saw nothing of Peely, and that might actually end up, you know, hurting the producers in the end. Like, they're not, people may actually say, well, you know, I didn't see enough of this person to be able to convict them, so they should stay at least.
Okay. Let's go to another question. This is from Bo 123452. Rob, who do you think made the best and worst first impressions? Okay. We talked about the best first impressions. Who do you think made the worst first impression? Was it Zach for you, Kurt?
See, Zach didn't, it wasn't that he made a bad, like what I saw in the actual videotape package was fine, but he seems very self-aware, but he seemed very standoffish when he was introducing himself, or he wasn't introducing himself to people at the beginning. I'm going through the list to see if there's anybody else who potentially made a bad impression. Cindy made a bad first impression.
Yeah. She was seemed like she was going to be somebody who I did not feel confident about her long-term safety in the house.
And was she also the one that commented on Sarah being a slacker or a stoner in the diary room?
I think so.
So yeah, I was trying to think who said that. And I was like, I think that was Cindy. I don't think it was Brittany. I'm pretty sure it was Cindy. So Cindy kind of not so much a great first impression. That's kind of the main person.
Johnny turned me off with that Anil remark.
Yeah.
Did not like that. Did not like that. Not cool. All right. Let's take another question here. This is from the My Eater says, is Cindy with an S doomed with a D? I know. I believe she's actually doomed with a G.
She won veto with a V. So she's at least not doomed this right out of the gates here. It's, you know, we kind of saw the My Name is Cindy with an S supercut where we probably saw every single time that she said it over the course of an hour or two in a 20-second time span. Now that she's informed people of that, she may be less annoying down the road, and people may not nominate her. So I don't think she is necessarily doomed. I think she got a lot of applause when she won and ended up passing Kevin in the challenge. So there we go.
Okay. Let's do another question from Adam. And Adam says, will the BB UK style eviction twist be a one-time thing? Or do you think BB Can will be nominating / evicting house guests this way all season long?
I'm pretty sure it's just a one, maybe two-time thing. I don't think that they would make that drastic of a change in the game without having said that, this is something you're going to be doing all season long, Canada. So it's, this was kind of positioned as this week, you have the ultimate power. I think we did see in Big Brother 15 that, what seemed like it was going to be one week where the house guest with the secret power was going to be America. And America got to pick that third nominee or what have you. And it ended up going like 2-3 consecutive weeks. So I don't know. We'll see if this ends up being more than one week, but I'm pretty sure it won't be.
One of the things that I picked up on in the episode, Kurt, was Kevin was giving his diary room during the competition, and he talked about how he wanted to win the competition because he was going to keep the bros safe or keep the bros good. Kurt, do we have the early stages of a new bomb squad forming in the Big Brother Canada house? Or in the Canadian term, El Cuatro?
I don't know. It's so hard. Maybe. I mean, the best I can say is maybe. Because here's the thing. It's like, I felt we got so little time to see these people actually interacting as housemates. We don't know where people necessarily stand with each other. This seems like this could actually be a very bro down season. So we'll have to see. But I wouldn't doubt it. That could have been fueled by some side conversation he had.
Okay.
But it doesn't look like there's many side rooms to go into to have side conversations.
Who's broing down with Jordan and Kevin? We can assume Jordan and Kevin are broing. That's like the Muppet Babies version of the Shield.
Do we see that interaction much? I was thinking more that Kevin would have been referring to
Zach
and Bobby.
Zach and Bobby are the bros.
Yeah. Like, even though he kind of was like, Bobby did really good at the physical part of the challenge, but poor guy, he's just kind of standing there clueless right now. I mean, it's a little bit more like where he's going to be the brains of the group, and Bobby's going to be some of the strength, and Zach's going to be the charm. I don't know. So I can see the three who are competing in the veto competition potentially sticking together.
Yes. I want to issue a retraction from Havish in the chat room, who reminds me that El Cuatro was the women's alliance in Big Brother 16. Cuatro was the Canadian male alliance. So, of course, by putting the L in front of it, I've changed everything.
Yeah, El Cuatro is south of the border. That's how you can remember.
Yes. And that is El Cuatro with an E.
Yes.
Okay. Kurt, a couple more questions from Herschel. Wants to know, I actually like how they're doing this right from the first episode. On BBUS, cast members seem to know when the twist is to be expected and when they're playing around mid-game. Here, they're doing the Canada votes thing right off the bat. Kurt, does that change anything for you?
It doesn't change anything for me. I mean, I like, as a fan of the BB UK and the BB Australia, I like this twist of having the house guests each nominate two people, and the people with the most nominations are up for eviction. I still just don't think it was a good move for the producers to have America vote with so little information to go on. I think that's a mistake.
Okay.
I don't mind them voting. It's just, it should have been like after we got like a couple episodes under our belt to actually know these people.
I'm on board. Same thing. I feel like no issue with doing it, but let's just let people get a taste of who these people are before we cast one of them aside, because one of them could be really good TV, Kurt. That's what we want.
Show you good TV.
Yeah. Show it to us.
Yes.
All right. Let's do two more questions here. Thanks for the llama. Wants to know, is it just me or does Kevin resemble James Rhine, a friend of Kurt Clark? his body, face, and even the way he competed in the veto, do you think that he'll fall into the same boat? Well, what kind of boat is Kevin going to fall into? As James did in his seasons, playing both sides, never staying loyal to one alliance. All right. A lot of things to unpack there, Kurt. Do you think that, are you willing to put Kevin and James Ryan in the same motorboat, Kurt?
Well played. Not just yet. James is a fierce competitor.
Is it because Kevin hasn't dated anybody from Big Brother yet?
We don't know that to be true.
Yes.
We assume it to be true. That could be the case. Kevin's kind of lackadaisical attitude at the start of the competition where he let the bros go ahead, he let the women go ahead, and then he attacked the course. He seemed to wasn't even the first person back with the pieces. I believe Bobby was, I think. He did well in the puzzle. And so I just don't get the same ultra-competitive vibe from Kevin that James seemed to exude. So I'm not quite signing that check yet.
Yes. You, sir, are no James Ryan. Is that your official stance?
You, sir, are no James Ryan as of yet.
As of yet. Okay. All right. Let's do one more question here tonight with the tabulator. From Riley Rage says, was it just me or was Cox taking a few notes from the Chen bot? She seemed much more robotic and interacting less with the house guests compared to previous seasons.
So she's like part cyborg then. So she's kind of halfway in between bot and human.
I think that hosting Big Brother is a tough job. I think it's one of those things that looks really easy, but you know, you're doing all these live shows. Like the live shows are very much like scripted to a certain amount. Yeah, like, you know, 20 seconds to say this, then we'll cut to this, then we'll cut to this. So there's not really a lot of time for banter or stuff like that. Like, I feel like there's only so much you can do with it because you're on such a short leash because that live show has so many different things that you need to get to. So it's sort of a thankless job, I think, being the host of Big Brother.
Yeah, and they would say that you never want to perform with animals or kids. I'm guessing reality contestants is probably the third thing in that list.
Yeah, and Julie Chen, in fairness to her, like, if you ever watch her on The Talk, like, she has definitely more personality than she is able to show on Big Brother. And I feel like that's probably the same for Arissa Cox.
Yeah, Julie just sticks to the plan.
She sticks to the plan on Big Brother. And again, she's not going to overthink it. She's not going to, like, you know, go rogue or anything like that. But if you ever see her, like, in an interview or, like, on the talk, she is a lot more fun.
Yeah. I didn't think Arissa was necessarily as robotic as Julie was. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge fan of the host of the UK version, Emma Willis, who is like the least robotic, I think, of the four female hosts that I've seen of the show. But I think Arissa's somewhere kind of in between that, where she's only got a couple seasons under her belt. She still is, I think, comfortable having a conversational tone and maybe ad-libbing a little bit. But Julie's pretty by the book, but does a good job.
Yeah. All right. Kurt, do you have a hashtag for people who checked out our first Big Brother Canada recap of the season?
Premiere with a P?
That's good. Premiere with a P for the Big Brother Canada 3 premiere show. Kurt, very exciting. Very, very pumped up for Big Brother to be back.
It should be a good time.
Yes. Should be a very fun time. Kurt, what's going on the Once Upon a Time podcast on post show recaps?
We do our podcast once every week. So Once Upon a Time, Once Upon a Week. We're kind of, I think, about 6-7 episodes from the end of the season. Mike Bloom and I usually record on Sundays or Mondays and get the podcast out then. So it's been an interesting back half of the fourth season.
All right, so check out more Kurt Clark over on postshowrecaps.com. That's our scripted TV podcast. And of course, stay tuned for more Rob Has a Podcast when we will be back on Friday to talk about Big Brother Canada 3 some more and get our first updates from the live feeds from this season. And we will start to bring in some of our Big Brother Canada guests. And Kurt, I have a very good guest for Friday who is not 100% confirmed yet. So I don't want to announce it and then disappoint you in the chance that that is going to fall through. But I can tell you I have a guest that is confirmed for Tuesday, and we will be speaking with somebody who is one of the standouts from last season. Arlie will be our guest next Tuesday. I believe at, I think we said we're going to do that one at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Tuesday.
Great. That should, he should be a good interview, a good guest.
Yeah. Never had him on the podcast before. So looking forward to talking to him, and really good guest, in the works for Friday. If that is confirmed, again, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific for the live show on Friday. And then those times may change around because Amazing Race isn't on this week. So there may be a little bit of, you know, having to rejigger to get things because we do our live Amazing Race recap on Fridays. Maybe we might end up moving the Big Brother recap to Mondays potentially. So bear with us. This is going to be a work in progress, but we're going to stick to two shows a week.
Yeah, just be flexible.
Be flexible. Kurt, great job. Great catching up with you.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Also, thank you so much, Scott St. Pierre, for all your hard work behind the scenes tonight. And if you have a chance to vote before midnight, before Cinderella's podcast turns back into a pumpkin with a P, you can go to podcastawards.com. Have a great night, everybody. Survivor Know-It-Alls is live on Wednesday night at 9:15 p.m. with Stephen Fishback. Plus, we will do our big Survivor recap and talk to the next person kicked off as Survivor all on Thursday on Rob Has a Podcast. So it's a big week. Looking forward to talking more Big Brother again with you soon. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.